So when we talk about the global economy, and we do that a lot on this program, there's a 5 billion pound gorilla in the room all the time. It's the nation of China. Its huge influence on global economic dynamics is undeniable, but trying to figure out exactly what China's influence is a bit of a detective story. Take China's oil demand and actual oil consumption. It's a number that is mysterious, but it also bears directly on demand for industrial goods around the world, demand for commodities as disparate as copper and gold, and figuring out how China's oil production actually fluctuates from month to month is one of the jobs of Paul Ting, who's a veteran oil analyst and founder of Paul Ting Energy Vision. And Paul, first of all, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure, John.
How has China's approach to economic statistics and really it's quite, I mean, lack of candor, I think it's fair to say, made your job more difficult and more detective work than maybe economic forecasting?
It certainly is more difficult, having been a analyst who had watched the U.S. studied U.S. and Europe for many, many years. You can see a dramatic difference between the way data is disseminated between U.S. versus China. In the U.S. case, everything is given to you pretty much in a silver platter. It's there for you to take on websites and publications. But in China's case, I think a lot of the data tends to be played pretty close to the chest by the government and other publications. Some of the key components, such as inventory change or output from smaller refineries, which tend to be very important in determination of demand, are not readily available. It takes a lot of detective work, and a lot of times you bang your head against a wall many times before you get to something that really is reliable and useful.
Well, before we talk about the detective story itself, and I want to hear the ways that you try to deconstruct this mysterious number, how influential is the number? You know, really convince me that it's absolutely as influential as you say it is.
It is not only influential, it is critical, because if you look at the modern era of oil price, it really started in the 2003-2004 horizon. In 2004, China's demand increased by double digit to the tune of about 16%. And that started to drive oil prices up into the $147 range. I wouldn't say it's all due to China, for sure. But on the other hand, if one were to ignore China, you couldn't explain a lot of the phenomena in oil price, including the rise of oil price this year from the $30 to the $70 level. So you don't look at China, you're not looking at exactly at the right place.
All right, I'll say it. What are the quote-unquote tea leaves that you have to look at to get a real number here?
Well, I think the tea leaves are, some of them are available. For example, data such as refinery runs, you can get that without too much challenge. It's not given to you on a silver platter, but you can't get them on a regular basis. But things such as small refinery runs, things such as inventory swings, all those are the things that you really have to dig very, very hard. And the only way you know it's reliable is that if you look all the tea leaves, and all the tea leaves kind of point to the same direction, you can't have massive demand growth without some kind of inventory drawdown. You can't have massive demand growth without having some kind of a movement of inventory from surplus region to a shortfall region. So all those are things that you want to look at to see whether those data really make sense, which data is right, which data is candidly wrong. So without doing the corroborative detective work, you run the danger of using data that is inaccurate.
And the data can definitely move the markets. Do you have to have people in port cities in China watching tankers move in and move out, or look at satellite photos or webcams?
Yeah, the satellite photos and webcam, I'm not sure if they can give you the level of detail that, from an analysis point of view, that you need. You get some overall sense of dynamics, but you do need to have people on the ground, so to speak, to talk to the small independent refiners, to talk to the inventory holders, to really gauge what's really going on. So yes, you do need a team of people working on the ground over there to generate data and to generate the dynamics that seem to corroborate each other.
Well, finally, you've gotten a reputation for being really good at this. How valuable is your information, and how much are people willing to pay to get your data maybe ahead of the market?
Well, you know, this kind of data can be useful for the investors who invest in oil stocks as well as in commodity components. A right call can really generate significant revenue. But the flip side is also true. If you were to look at wrong data and came up with the wrong conclusion, it could be quite costly. So accurate data in this area tend to be quite important for the professionals in the equity investment as well as fixed income and commodity trading. So there are a lot of people willing to pay up for this kind of, I would think, fairly critical information.
All right, Paul Tang, call him an analyst, call him an investor, call him a detective, but he's got a good track record in figuring out China's oil consumption number, which moves the markets in oil and commodities. It's a bit of detective work. Thanks for explaining that, Paul.
Thank you, John.